The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll, and Happy New Year. I got a great guest to kick off 2023 here on TIJ. My partner and dance pro from Dancing with the Stars, the illustrious Cheryl Burke, is finally here after almost 10 years of Talk is Jericho. Cheryl just announced her retirement from Dancing with the Stars after 26 seasons on the show, and we're definitely going to hear why she's leaving, what she's going to do next. It's been 11 years or so since we danced together, and probably that long since we've really talked. And this conversation will be the first time we really break everything down from that whirlwind crazy experience, all the memories that we had, all the action that took place. You hear about the first time we met, how some of our rehearsals went, what it was like to, on show day, what we used to do to blow off steam. We talk about some of the crazy television appearances we did together on the Ellen Show, Rachel Ray, how much fun we had hanging out with the late, great Kirstie Alley. Oh, she was so amazing. She also competed that season. She should have won, too. Cheryl shares what it was like to choreograph and teach all the dances to me and some of the other celebs she danced with over those 26 seasons. She talks about judging and scoring, some of her favorite partners, competing with injuries, dancing during COVID on Zoom. Not kidding. It's a great trip down memory lane and a great trip down the dancing ballroom. But before we get there, there's still some cabins left for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager. See, you still have time, even though it's only less than a month away. If you want to go, buy your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. You're not going to miss this either. We got so much talent, so many cool events happening on the ship. I just was working on the cruise schedule. It is going to be as jam-packed as always. Half the AEW roster is on board. It's the only time you'll get to see Jerichohausen versus the Guns on the ship. First ever Jericho Cruise Oceanic Championship will be crowned. Moose Cheeseburger, Matt Cardona, and AEW's own Dante Martin will be battling to see who takes on Flip Gordon for the title. We got comedy. We got music on the ship. Quiet Riot, Raven, Fozzy, Quarantine, the Dave Spivak Project, Pris, We Are Wasted, Nocturnal Affair, the Guardians of the Jukebox. The list goes on and on. Fozzy doing three shows. Brad Williams is going to be there. Kay Quigley is going to be there. Jeff Nye is going to be there. So many funny, great times. Dave Schrader, Paranormal 60, will be scaring you with some live paranormal experiences. It is the party of the year and the vacation of a lifetime. We're going for the first time to our own private island from Miami to Great Stirrup Cay. It is February 2nd to February 6th. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and join us. You're not going to want to miss it. And you're not going to want to miss my old and dear Dancing with the Stars partner, Cheryl Burke, right here, right now on Talk is Jericho.
Fresh off the retirement hall, I guess. I don't know what you call it. It's crazy. How long has it been?
It's been probably, I think, 10 years. Because I was on the show season 11, which I think was 2012, maybe. Something like that.
My God. Time flies. I feel like it was yesterday, actually.
I know that, and I was, when I see you from time to time, you know, obviously we follow each other as official friends on Instagram, right? And then I was like, oh, Cheryl's retiring after 26 years.
26 seasons, yeah.
26 seasons,
same thing,
right?
Though. Yeah.
You guys did like two seasons a year, right?
Yeah, so it's a total of 17 or 18 years, I think.
Yeah, so I'm just checking it out right now. We were on 2011, March of 2011, so 11 years ago.
Jesus, I'll never forget that Viennese waltz. You freaking nailed it.
Oh man, that's yeah. I mean, it's so funny that you remember that out of all the dances that we had, that you had.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Venetian waltz, the quick step.
I don't remember that as
that
much.
That was to Judy Garland.
Oh, we wore the turquoise outfit.
Yes. Yes.
Got it.
And then the Paso Doble was the other really good one. I had the knee pads on, walking on the floor.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the knee walks. I've been using it ever since, every season.
Was I the first person you did a knee walk with?
I think so, maybe. Because, like, normally you don't give that to someone with no dance experience. But I was like, you know what? It's season 11. We better get to it.
You know, it's funny because, like, for me, like, wrestling as long as I have, obviously people remember certain things that I have no memory of whatsoever. You being on 26 seasons... and probably doing, I don't know, 300 dances, 250, God. 300 dances.
Who's counting?
Do some of them, like, you see it on TV or someone reminds you, like I just did right now, you have no recollection whatsoever?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's music. So, like, and my whole life has been based off of seasons. So I'm like, okay, so I got engaged this season. And then, you know, it's like, it's crazy how it has consumed my life. But yeah, music is very... You know, we've reused a lot of music that I'm like, oh, I definitely dance. I also remember our cha-cha. So that was because, like, we rehearsed for that one the longest, I think, because that was our first dance.
Yes.
We were rehearsing in Florida, right? Wasn't it Florida?
Yeah, Tampa.
Which I'm sure you'd never take this up again. I mean, wasn't it hard? Was it difficult for you?
Well, see, the thing is, it's like people always go, even to this day, not as much now, but for the first 3 or 4 years after, it's like, oh, you did Dancing with the Stars. You must be a dancer. I'm like, no, I know 6 dances with Cheryl Burke and that's it.
Just the choreography.
Yeah. But it was super hard. I mean, it was one of the hardest things I ever did, but one of the most rewarding.
Yeah.
Because I got to learn the art of dance
right
through you.
Through motion and through me, and just how intense, like the attention to detail is a must. Like, I swear every ballroom dance coach is OCD because, you know, it is really all in the details. How do you compare? Do you compare this to wrestling at all, or is it completely different?
No, it's not. Because so it's funny because, like, we have literally people listening. We probably haven't spoken in almost 11 years,
yeah,
and probably have never
years,
had a
yeah
chance to reflect on this. So
yeah,
I really had an affinity for it for a few reasons. One, the choreography. Obviously, wrestling has a lot of choreography, remembering sequences. Long sequences. And then the other one is being a musician and understanding how to stay on the beat.
Right.
Which is very much something you have to do dancing. You can't be behind or ahead. So I think when I first was signed up, that maybe they thought, oh, this guy will be good for a week or two. But I think because of my wrestling experience and also music experience,
yeah,
it gave me a little bit of an extra edge. And also, too, performing in front of a live audience.
Yes, obviously. Yeah.
A lot of people on the show are actors or don't have that experience.
Yeah. And by the way, you turned on too. As soon as it was live, you know, and it was lights, camera, action, you had a different energy in a good way. You know, it was like
right. You
just didn't let anything, you know, drag you down. It was like showtime. So that was also a huge benefit. And mind you, Dina Katz, who's the head of casting over there at Dancing with the Stars, she thought you were going to win.
Wow.
Let's not forget, we had, you know, Stacey Keebler was on season 2. She came in second place. And then she goes, you know, WWE fans, I mean, they're like, it's a whole nother world, right? And so she definitely had her money on us, actually, that season, I believe.
I thought there was so much influence from the producer side of things as well, just because I know that there was the fan audience vote. And then there was the scores from the judges, which are obviously, I would assume, more from the producer, from the studio's end of things.
Mm-hmm.
So you could kind of see those influences as well. And obviously, it's show business. We know this.
Yeah. And it's story, the packages, remember, prior to our dance, like it's all about the journey. It's not so much about, I mean, I learned this the hard way and not the hard way. I danced with this guy named Juan Pablo Depache, and we got 60 out of 60. This was the semifinals heading into the finals. We didn't make the final.
Oh, wow.
And what was crazy about that was that he was one of the best dancers I think I've ever danced with, period. You know, what was interesting was that I'm not sure if his journey was so interesting, because when you're already so good, where is there to go? It kind of is like Mario Lopez, you know, when Emmett and I won, mind you, we didn't expect to win whatsoever. We were shocked because he was the best dancer, but the best dancer doesn't always win.
Like you said, you want to see kind of the transformation.
That's what the show is.
Yeah, that's what the show is. In our season, Hines Ward won, who is a football player.
Got it.
But second, and she just passed away, was Kirstie Alley. I thought she could have won because her transformation totally. As, you know, at that point she was a little bit bigger and she wasn't really much of a dancer. And then she got really good using yeah. her strengths and making these great performances, you know?
And her and Max had such amazing chemistry. They were like a spicy little couple, you know, and it was also, she loved it. I mean, we went salsa dancing afterwards to El Floridita. I mean, it's so insane. I mean, the amount of amazing people like yourself I've met, that's the one thing I'm really going to miss for sure.
You know, it's funny because I loved working with you because you were such a, like a hard ass, but in a good way. Like you didn't tell me what yeah. I wanted to hear. You told me what I needed to no. hear. And like, sometimes you see, like, I'm sure it happened all the time where you are proof of it, where there was kind of like, romances amongst the partners. We never had any of that. It was almost like sister and brother. Kind of like, I remember one yes. time I was like, if this fucking camera wasn't on, I'd tell you to fuck off right now.
So this is how I work. So I'm known as the taskmaster. I was labeled this in season two. So mind you, the power of the edit, but I'm pretty hardcore. I mean, like, look, I'm no BS. At the end of the day, you tell me you want to win, buckle up, you know, we're going to get started.
Right.
And that's the way I was coached, Chris. Like there was no sugarcoating shit.
Right.
Nothing was sugarcoated. If anything, it was like when I was given a compliment, I was like, what is that? Like, you know, I didn't really. And this is the people I've also surrounded myself with personally. Also my team of people. Please don't bullshit me, you know? And I think it's as though I could work on affirmations and daily, you know, maybe once in a while say something nice. I just don't want people to think that I'm pulling it out of my ass and it's not authentic. So I would say that authenticity is something that I am proud of within myself. However, I would like to soften up sometimes when I'm working on the vulnerability side.
Well, and we had that. Like I said, I thought we made a pretty good team. And another thing that was great too is I know now you are sober and clean, and not like we were raging lunatics, but we would like have some drinks and like, you know, show up like, yeah, I'm pretty hungover today. You
know? Well, we drank the same drink. That was how we bonded. I was like, what do you drink? You're like, vodka soda. I was like, me too.
We had that quite a bit.
The perfect match.
And we'd always go out after the weekly eliminations. And yeah. I remember yeah. Kirsty was always with us too. So we always kind of had a good time with that, you know?
And then my book had just come out, I think, right?
That's right. And so did mine.
Yes, yes.
Remember, we did
yes.
the joint good signing time. At Barnes & Noble at the Grove.
Yes, Kirsty came.
She did. Yes, she came and checked us out.
It's just so crazy. Like I was saying to my sister last night, she was here, and I was like, you know, as you get older, it's interesting. Like 15 years ago feels like yesterday, though. That's why like time just flies. And my time on Dancing with the Stars, as slow at times as it felt, it's just gone by. 26 seasons. I mean, I'm never going to do this again. And any, it doesn't matter what I sign on for next, you know, it's like, that is unheard of. And, but there's also a time where I need to be like, okay, it's time to close this chapter because I don't want to be the one being fired. Like you're 62. It's time to like get out of here, you know, dancing with Cheryl, you know, in my walker. It's like, I don't know. I have to cut the umbilical cord at some point. Right.
But obviously I know you left for a couple of years for a few times, mm-hmm. but you've become a fan favorite. Like I remember I didn't really know much about Dancing with the Stars at all, but I was like mm-hmm. deep in my head. I was like, I hope I get Cheryl. I know Cheryl. I thought you were really good. And when I walked in that room, cause they keep it a big secret from you, you don't know who you're going to get until you walk in the room. And I was like, oh, Cheryl, I know her.
Did you really not know? They didn't
no.
tell prep you just in case you didn't know?
No, they didn't. They didn't tell you anything.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You never knew that? Like for any contestant?
Well, I mean, I should have been a private detective. I always know like at least a couple of days before, but I have to know because most of the time I have no idea who you are.
But you didn't know that we didn't know who we were getting?
No, I thought for sure they prepped you, especially like now with the dancers who have been on for so long. It's like, what you're like, I don't watch the show, but then you have to pretend you watch the show and you don't know the dance. I had no idea that you didn't know. That's good. At least that's authentic.
That's true. So let me ask you this. So when you find out who your partner is, like you said, do you have to go do some research on the person and look them up and see what they're all about?
Good old Google. I think the only person I would say, I definitely knew of you. Mind you, I don't watch, you know, wrestling a lot. However, I respect the sport. Would you call it a sport? It's a sport, right?
Yeah, sport, yeah.
And especially with the Bella Twins, because, you know, I love Nikki. She is obviously with Artem now, which I love so much. I did their podcast. They're awesome. You know, it's interesting because What was your question again?
No, I was just saying, like, do you have to do like research on some people if you don't know who they are?
Yeah. No, Emmett Smith. Emmett Smith was the number one.
Mm.
The celebrity was the second celebrity I danced with. I danced with Drew Lachey, who I thought was Nick Lachey the whole time. And then so did everyone, I guess, too. But and then it was Emmett Smith. And I was like, oh, gosh, they're like, he's a football player. And I was like, what? Like, I was so distraught about it. And I then talked to some of my guy friends. They were like, Emmett Smith? And I was like, I still don't know who he is. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, sometimes I have to use a good old Google, which helps.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There's so many directions we can go, but let me just kind of get into your mind is when, because what people might not know is you choreograph the dances.
Mm-hmm.
You also design the costumes.
Basically. I mean, it's a collaborative, I would say.
But you have an idea of what you want for each. And we didn't know the songs were again, but they would tell you, they would give you a song at the beginning of the week in case you made it to the next round. And then you could start thinking about that week's dance and everything else in between.
Yeah.
So when you get like, you know, each year you get a new guy, and sometimes it's a football player, sometimes it's a wrestler, sometimes it's an actor, sometimes it's a girl.
Sometimes a girl. It only happened once.
You had a girl partner once?
No, not me. Jojo Siwa did it with Jenna.
That's right. So how do you kind of craft your idea of how you're going to coach people? Is it the same for every person, or do you have to kind of change it depending on the person?
Yeah. Listen, so did we have result shows back in the day with you?
Yes.
Basically, you know, this is why the training period is really important, because it's important for me to assess, first of all, body language right away from when you shake my hand. I can feel and sense the type of person you are, which is crazy. I would say that I'm better with using my body as language, like my motion, than I am describing my feelings through words and sounds.
Right.
So it's always been ingrained in me anyway. So from then I see how you walked in, your posture. I see how you hold yourself up. Are you confident? Are you looking at in my eyes? Are you shaking my hand? Like, are you limp? You know, like, it really is a big deal. And then also awareness of space, just spatial awareness. Are you able to mold? Am I able to mold somebody who kind of will, right away, you have a sense of trust. If this person is, first of all, willing to be vulnerable and look like an ass to start off with, right? Or are you too worried about the cameras? Because then I've noticed a lot of actors, for example, they are very worried about what the cameras are going to capture, what is going to actually air. And then the vulnerability side, the thing with Dancing with the Stars is that if you're not willing to be vulnerable, this show is not for you, period, point blank. Because at the end of the day, you have to be willing to look stupid. You have to laugh at yourself. I don't want to say you have to have fun, because it's like, sometimes it's not fun.
No.
Right? 7 days a week. It's no joke. But like you said, you feel so accomplished. No matter how far you make it, it's not so much about the dance itself as more of a life lesson. I think there's a lot of people who may, like my partner, my last partner, Sam Champion, we've been friends for years. I had no idea that a man in the 60s may not have as much body awareness or any type of, like, you know, just noticing, oh, he was sore in different places he's never been sore. I would say with like athletes, it's different. You know, you understand how the body moves, or at least your body.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in ballroom, it's not natural. We're not dancing naturally. We're completely contorted. We're completely doing the opposite of everything. I mean, who walks in a place with their like nipples to the sky? Like, it's just like everything needs to be exaggerated. So I would say it's gratifying for me to see somebody who trusts, who I just met, completely trust me, and know that I have their back. But when they don't, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, no one forced you to sign up for this. And really, you are out of your element. That's the beauty.
Well, I think something that I figured out pretty early on is you have to take it seriously.
You have to.
And
yes.
I even went for dance lessons for a couple of weeks before you and I even met, because I'd never danced
before
in my life, right? And I remember the first time you're like, well, just dance. And I would just dance. You probably look like Elaine from Seinfeld. And you're like, all right, stop. We've got some work to do. I was like, yeah, you do.
Right.
Because everybody at first, like, if you go to a party and you put on some music and people start dancing, what's the first thing people do? They make a joke of it, right? They try and do like funny dances and stuff.
Yep.
You got to get that out of your head right away. There's nothing funny about it, right?
No.
There isn't.
I give you all these pointers, like, don't forget your posture, your frame, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure you miss that word, frame. And then I'm like, have fun. You know, it's like, they're really, that's the last thing on the list. But what makes you have fun for that 60 to 80 seconds on the dance floor is doing the work. It's all about the work in the rehearsal space. Because if you feel insecure about anything, especially the stuff that you should know, which is the choreography, you need to know what comes next. Like, there's no, I can't help you there. You have to, this is why athletes are, I prefer to dance with, because they would go home and study. They would eat, sleep, and, you know, shit this stuff. They didn't have to, you don't have to remind somebody, right? Like, to memorize a script. It's your job.
Right.
But now it's my job to now, from that foundation, is to create the details and to create the execution, which I can help. However, I do feel like for the celebrity men and the girl dancers, it's a lot harder because I can't lead you, like, physically. Like, I really cannot lead as much. I can definitely manipulate. But when I dance with Rick Fox, who's 6'7", there was no way in hell. I mean, he's not feeling anything.
Right.
With the male dancers, the pro dancers, they could actually mold the woman live on television. You know, there's really not much there. They don't have to, like, it's actually, you're able to do that physically with your strength.
In wrestling, the bad guy, the heel, usually leads the match, calls the match. It's kind of the same way with dancing, that, like you said, the guy would lead. Whereas when we were dancing, I have to lead, even though I'm not the experienced one. You almost have to do both jobs,
right?
But still be the woman doing the following.
Yeah, no, totally. And you looked like a leading man, but were you really leading? Not 100%. However, you were also very sensitive and aware of, like, if I moved my hand a certain direction, you followed that direction. You didn't fight it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Which is a wrestling thing. We work together. I mean, they're very, very similar.
Interesting.
Yeah, in wrestling, you're working together. Obviously, you're not really fighting.
Well, it's scripted, right? Or is it choreography?
It's choreography. It's a choreographed routine. And a lot of times it might be an improv choreographed routine.
Right.
But a tap on the shoulder or a move of the chest, you know which way I want to go.
Or in my case, my digging my fingernails in your shoulder blade means stop.
Yeah, but you had those tricks, you know?
Yes.
And like you mentioned too, like the frame, the art of the dance, like even having the—
Look at you, you're already getting—
I remember. It's just your voice. It's like, it's like Pavlov's dog. Oh, Cheryl's here. Got out my frame.
Right.
But you have to have the index finger down a little bit.
Yes.
Like, Len would look for those things as the true ballroom.
You don't want banana fingers.
Right. Yeah. But all that stuff counts, and you don't realize that.
It does. It's all in the detail. Because if you were to see us pros dance, and we were to do the technique and the foundational syllabus wrong, you would notice it. Like, it does not look good. Like, if you saw someone's hand on a woman's back with a backless dress like this versus like this, it's so different. Like, but it's really all in the details. But by the way, you can't even work that unless the celebrity walks in knowing his routine. What are you going to do? You got to build from the ground up every single week.
That must be hard too. It's almost like being a cast member on Saturday Night Live or something, where you work all week, you do the show. As soon as the show's done, all right, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. And here we go again.
For you tomorrow morning. But for me, I went straight to the rehearsal studio after that 14-hour day, or that second show night after I know we made it, and choreograph. Like, I never walk in without being prepped. Like, that's a waste of time for you too. It's like, why would I come in here, create while you're staring at me? Like, I need to actually come in here with my routine done so that I can now teach it right away. So I had to work overtime in that sense.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
How do you put together the dances week after week?
I use somebody. I have to have like a body double, basically, like another man, and I film it. as much as I wish I could say I do it all by myself, I don't. It takes a village. Like, it really does. I would say I choreograph it, but I use somebody because I need to be able to execute. And sometimes in my head, it looks great or it's going to look amazing. However, is it even realistic to do it with another pro? Or if it's not, then there's no point of wasting your time either. Like, it's just not going to work.
You had some mentors that you talked to. I remember there was one of the ladies that
yeah.
she was.
Wendy Johnson.
Wendy. Yeah.
Yes. She's still very much in my life. I love that woman. She coached me since I was a little girl. She still runs her dance competition in Las Vegas that's actually going on now. She helped me last season a little bit too. You know, she's got a really, I would say I credit Wendy for teaching me how to teach pedestrians, like how to dance. Because yeah. like when I came in onto the show, I had just turned pro. A lot of these dancers you see have never been a professional. They've been amateur level because they're so young. Like Derek's never danced in the professional level. Mm. And it's different. It's more like an age category, not necessarily a dance quality thing, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Anyone can turn pro, right? But at the end of the day, amateurs sometimes are even better than the pros. So I just want to make that clear because I don't want people to think that, you know, Derek's not qualified. He's more than qualified. But back to Wendy, she really, at first I did not want to do the show because I was like, I have no teaching experience. I don't teach, period. I'm just learning how to like compete at a worldwide level. And then she's like, you just have to make sure you don't talk syllabus talk. So like, no one cares what a lockstep is. At the end of the day, just execute it, right? So that's the number one thing that I thank her and I owe her my life for is, how do you make it relatable to the person you're teaching? Because at the end of the day, you can name all these names and speak a different language. But if it's not working, if they're not understanding what you're saying, you got to switch it up for them. So she always taught me how to adapt to any type of personality.
Was that kind of frowned upon by the show to have mentors involved, to have Wendy involved, for example?
You know, I never married a dancer. So it's like at the end of the day, you know, we all want one goal, which is, we want to make a good show.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I think it's very important. You need another set of eyes. Like, I can't be the pro. I can't do it all. I can't. I'm the first to admit it. You know, for Wendy, it was like, I would send her videos, but they don't want you bringing people in, you know?
Right.
Under their watch, basically.
You have to do it under the cover of night.
Which, by the way, we don't have a lot of hours left after that, right? Like, think about it. We had press. We had to rehearse. We had to shoot packages. I had to choreograph. What's left? I mean, do I even have time to go to the bathroom? Like, really? It's
no.
Like, you're on, like, time is not on your side.
No, and that's the thing, too. Like, I've obviously been in show business for 32 years now, but there's never been anything with much of a spotlight and a focus on it as Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
You know, and each week there'd kind of be, because I don't know if you won't remember this, but each week, probably for 4 out of the 6 or 7 that I was on, I was the second last person. So it was me and somebody else, and then the other person got eliminated. So there was never like too many times where I could just go sit in the back and watch whoever's going to get eliminated.
Right.
And there was always kind of like a bone dangled. If you make it past this round, Jay Leno wants you. If you make it past this round, Ellen wants you, right?
Yes.
So we did Ellen together. We did Rachel Ray together. We did a bunch of them because we're kind of together. Like, it's Cheryl and Chris, you know? And we do the whole kind of 6-7 week stint basically together, which is kind of cool,
but it's
really nerve-wracking. Yes. Like, you got to make it past this week to be on Ellen.
Oh, interesting. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
It's different now. Ellen, I mean, first of all, Ellen's not on air, but the show obviously was at its height during that time, you know?
Right.
And it was interesting because I think I've done the Ellen show 27 times.
Wow.
Even though I've only been on 25 seasons. But like, I don't know about you, but I always felt really weird dancing when it wasn't Dancing with the Stars. Like anywhere else, like GMA, if you had a dance, I'm like, oh, do we have to? Like, we just got eliminated. Yeah. Like, why do we have to freaking what? Or like Live with Regis and Kelly at the time. It's like, what? Like, I understand if we made the final, let's celebrate. But I'm not celebrating. And I'm really not wanting to dance in my flowery dress.
Right.
Like, and then Ellen would have us dance. And then she'd have like amazing So You Think You Can Dance dancers. I'm like, are you sure you still want to do this? This is just not a good show.
When we did Ellen, I remember the producer was like, you know, if Ellen doesn't like you, you'll be done in like 2 minutes or whatever. And I was like, all right. So we go on there and
I love that you're saying this right now.
I can say it. And she was super kind of cold. And then I started talking about Dory because my kids at the time were young and they watched Finding Nemo. And once I start 42 Wallaby Lane or whatever it is, she got super cool. And then she kept me on to do a game show thing with Mario Lopez. Then she had us, you and I, dance at the end of the show during the credits. And she's like, just dance. And we're, and I think you said, well, let's just do the
just
dance.
Dance, just dance, monkey dance.
Yeah. Just do the dance that we just did. And I was like so hyped up, I forgot the dance. And I remember you kind of gave me this look like, just spin me.
Wait, was, may his soul rest in peace, was Twitch DJing back then?
I think so, yeah. I think he was there. So, but my point was, like, because we always had, you and I had good chemistry, so we could do these types of things.
Totally.
And they're like, oh, just keep them on for four segments now. So it's like that 2 minutes kind of suddenly got great.
That was the smartest thing you could have ever done. Talk about Dory.
Talk about Dory. The other good one was Good Morning America, which is what you have to do when you get eliminated. We got eliminated. And at that point in time, I was super into it.
No, but you were also super happy to be eliminated, I think.
I was, but I still think...
Bittersweet.
I think in reality, we could have lasted one or two more weeks.
Yeah.
There was Romeo, little Romeo.
Oh, my God. And Karina, right?
The one from the Hugh Hefner show.
Oh.
Whatever.
Holly.
It wasn't Holly. It was Kendra. Kendra Wilkinson.
Kendra.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Who did she dance with? I totally forgot.
I can't remember. I just remember she was kind of a train wreck type. So they kept her on. I think we could have got an extra week or two.
Totally. Yeah.
So
yeah,
when we got eliminated, I went to my friend's house and I got pretty loaded. Right. And I kind of forgot that you got to get up at 5.
Oh yes. We went straight there.
And I remember texting you. I said, Cheryl, I'm really wasted. I don't know if I can talk right now. You might have to do the whole interview yourself.
I was probably also wasted, yeah. But yet I was a functioning drunk.
Well, so was I, because as soon as the red light came on, we were like, hey, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah.
You're like, hi, let's samba.
Yeah, exactly, it's samba.
Jesus, but now we're all excited to dance.
But there's so much of that sort of thing. And once again, kind of going back to how much time you have to spend practicing and rehearsing. I mean,
yeah.
What would you do? And we know there was a couple people in our season that just didn't take it serious enough. What did you do when you got hooked with somebody where you knew this guy isn't taking it serious enough? Would you tell them that?
I've never had one like that, actually.
Oh, that's great. Okay, good.
Maybe I had a couple of egotistical ones,
mm-hmm.
but that's all just, you know, insecurity.
Sure.
That they're projecting themselves. However, what makes my job hard when I did that show was when somebody doesn't trust the process and then blames you for the score or blames the choreography. That is challenging. There's really no way for me. There's no way out from there. Like, it's hard because, like, you come in and yes, though we just met, there has to be a trust. Like, yeah. The celebrity has to know that, of course, whoever your partner is has your best interest at heart, right? Like, I would never want, I mean, it would affect us directly, you know, like each of us.
Right.
So, in the beginning, when I first started Dancing with the Stars, that was harder for me. But now that I've been really into mental health and bettering myself and understanding a little bit of the psychology behind it, I've been able to gain more compassion, knowing that that is nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with that person. Of course, they're scared. Of course, there's a lot of fear. If you didn't admit that to yourself, then that's an issue, because it's like, it is scary, but it's so beautiful once you've overcame the hurdle, you know, of it.
Well, and that's the thing, because you really have to put yourself, like, I put myself in your hands almost, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes, you did. You did a great job of that.
Oh, well, thanks. But if you don't, you're just hooking yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
To me, the most terrifying dance was the first one, because I don't have any idea, is this working? Am I doing this right? And when that one was finished and they didn't just completely destroy me.
No. Yeah.
You get a little bit of confidence there, right?
Yeah. And also the judges, I mean, like, look, now Len has also retired,
yeah.
But the three judges back in the day, not Derek was not there yet. You also have to take it with a grain of salt. Like you said in the beginning of the podcast, it's the judges. I'm not going to be like, on the record, they're being manipulated. No, we got one ballroom judge on the panel. One.
Right.
You know, you got to take it with a grain of salt, and hopefully, you know, your package. This is what I think the order of importance is, honestly, is the package. To have the audience relate to your personality, to see you overcome. They want to get behind the dark horse. You know, they want to be able to see your journey.
Mm.
And then it is that 2 seconds you have back in the day with, like, Aaron Andrews or whoever. Was it Aaron at your time? Yeah, Aaron and Tom.
And Tom, yeah.
It's about that. And then the third is dance. Fourth is judges. Like, really, when people, you want the people to get behind you.
Well, and that's what you said too, like, earlier, when you mentioned Dina Katz and wrestling fans, I knew I wasn't going to do good on this show because of wrestling fans. I knew I would have to appeal to the non-wrestling fans, the Dancing with the Stars fans. And you're so right, because every week, I think it was actually Brooke Burke at the time who was the other other kind of backstage interviewer. I knew that, like you mentioned, I had 5 seconds to tell a joke, say something funny, say something relatable.
Endearing,
Endearing, right? And I remember I went with James Durbin, who was on American Idol, which was just in the same warehouse.
Yes.
We went to a Rod Stewart concert at the Hollywood Bowl during our time, because, you know, we had like, I have never had so many middle-aged housewives, and James as well. We got attacked. It was like every supermarket, everywhere I went that had kind of the middle-aged demo of Dance with the Stars. I was the star of the show for that, you know, 4 month period. It was unbelievable, the penetration that show had.
I guess we don't see this because this show consumed my life. I don't go to grocery stores during the season. I don't do any of it. Thank God for Instacart. You know, it's like, really? It's actually, so it was the wrestling fans' wives that just fell in love with you. So you got the whole house.
You had to have that, right?
Yeah, no, it is true.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let me ask you something else about kind of the way that the show, like, for example, we mentioned earlier the Quick Step, the Judy Garland, where we wore the turquoise outfits.
Yeah.
So that dance to me was one of my best, maybe besides the waltz, maybe the best one.
What was your score?
Well, here's the thing I was going to say. It was only week two. So I feel that it was a little bit too early to get a great score because it was too early on in the season. Is it possible to peak too early?
No, I got nines for week two once.
Okay, so there you go. Because my week two was 23.
So how many? So it was eight, seven or something?
I would assume, I'm just looking. It says week two is 23. Week one was 19. Week two was 23.
19? So you got what for week one?
19.
No, but what was the individual scoring? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. It was as far as which judges voted for which.
Yeah, so I'm assuming it was like 6, 6, 7.
I guess that's okay. There you go. Yeah, 6, 6, and 7 sounds about right. Yeah.
And then for the second one, what was second week again?
Second week was 21.
So you got 3 sevens.
Yeah. So that, yeah, there you go. Yeah, that, yeah, exactly. So
I think you were underscored, obviously. Sevens are like what you want to get for week one.
Okay. So week two, I got 8, 7, and 8. That was for the Quick Step of 23. Oh,
that's great. No, that's really good for week two. You shouldn't be upset about that, or you shouldn't have.
But if that was week five and I did the same dance, would you get a higher score is what I'm asking?
I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I've never even sat there. But what I do know, though, is like you said, you know, it's a TV show. And I think whoever came up with this freaking formula of just Dancing with the Stars, the exact formula of you don't got to work 7 days a week, but if you want to look stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feel free to take as many days off as you want and have another job. You cannot do it.
No,
you can't do it. You can't have two jobs.
No, I remember Wendy Williams was still doing her show in New York and flying back and forth, and she was eliminated first.
Was she on our season?
Yeah.
There you have it.
You can't do that.
No.
And just so people know, I think we were rehearsing probably 7 or 8 hours a day straight through. And I don't even remember eating lunch because you can't.
Well, they also don't offer it. Just kidding. No, they do. But what I'm
But saying, you can't,
I,
though.
No, you really can't. Because I can't eat when I'm dancing. Like, this is the last thing I want to do is feel tired when you're on a moment, you know, the momentum. You got to, like, same like wrestling, I'm sure. Like, can you practice on a full stomach?
No.
Probably not. But again, in a nice way, I'm not saying this in a negative way whatsoever, but I compared the show to Survivor, but with a roof over our head and maybe some water and food. But it is. It's all in or nothing. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. I've tried it all. I've tried maybe not caring so much and investing. But then it's like, but again, back to the formula. Whoever created this formula, it's your ass on the line. You can put in as much or as little. Now, can you take days off? Yes. Is everyone taking days off? No.
No.
You got to make it work. At least you have to go out knowing you tried your best. That's all you can do.
No, and the thing is, too, it's a very quick schedule because, like you mentioned, back then it was Monday, Tuesday. So Tuesday's the result. Either you make it and you don't. If you make it, then we start from scratch on Wednesday.
Yes.
Now, Friday, you had to have your wides. And Friday...
That is the devil word. I hate that word.
Explain what the wides are.
Oh, my God. We have to dance. Okay, so now it's even worse, by the way. They want it like 24 hours later. Like, maybe not even 48 hours. Honestly, it's like, it's for the director.
Right.
Nobody else sees it, so they say. And the wide is so that the director can see. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to be able to do your routine from top to bottom to music so that the director can then choreograph his cameras and blah, blah, blah. But really, I believe that not only the director watches it. There's no way.
Cheryl, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now from what I picked up. I mean, I'm not saying this in the bed. Once again, it's show business. They are checking to see who is picking it up quickly and who's not.
You know, the stress when I hear the field producer say, wides, we need your wides. They also do it to get the stress in the rehearsal practice, especially for me. I think I care too much. But
no, but because we're rehearsing in a dance studio, it's not the same as the giant ballroom studio. So what kind of blocking can you really do? I mean, obviously in your head, you can see
Thank you.
I think they're checking out to see, okay, Jericho's got it this week, or he's got some problems, you know?
Yes. And then camera blocking, unless you completely switch the choreography around, hopefully it's a pleasant surprise, or you've continued on that, you know, going downhill, that slippery slope. But I also believe, like, as far as order goes on the show, I do believe that it's, they see the votes. They see when did the show spike? I mean, this is different now that it's on Disney Plus. It's different with network television in general. So it's like they want someone to start off the show that's strong, go middle strong, and ending strong, which makes sense, you know?
No, once again, that's TV. You want to kick it off with, okay, this is going to be a great one. Let's put it on early.
Right.
And then another thing is, too, then you have the live rehearsal on Sunday, which is usually with the band or whatever the thing is. And I remember one time during rehearsal, I made a mistake and stopped. And you're like, don't stop. You got to keep going. I was like, it's rehearsal. Off. You're like, no, it's not. You got to keep going.
Ever since that day, they give us little briefings.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm kidding. Not just that day. But you know, that's one. An overall rule. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Another thing was if you get injured, like one of my partners broke his arm on live television while we were dancing a samba.
Oh, wow.
He dropped me on my head. And I was like, what the just happened? Like his whole tendon broke. Popped.
Oh, wow.
Because I told him, don't work out. Why would you work out?
Right.
Don't lift weights because, like, I need you agile. Like, I need you to be flexible. Like, you can't be lifting, doing bicep curls, and then having to dip me and going the opposite way. It's like, it happened. And because of it, we made the final. But prior to that, no, I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding. But Tom Bergeron, you know, they say to you, the director, at the very before the premiere, the day before when we do the first blocking, he says, if you have an injury and you can no longer continue, raise your hand. And I'm not sure if you remember that, but like, so that's what happened. And thank God he broke his left arm because he was able and he became a better leader, only having to worry about one side of his body.
Oh, wow.
And with the right arm, that's the man's frame. So his dancing improved quite a lot. If that didn't happen, we would have been out before the final for sure.
And which partner was that?
His name is Cristian de la Fuente. He was a telenovela star, or still is probably.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah, you guys got almost not a bye, but because he got hurt, you went.
Like, no, not a bye. We just said the showrunner Conrad, who's now back as a showrunner, but
I remember
he was saying, "Can you continue? Is it okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I can just work with one side." If it was his left arm he broke, I wouldn't have been able to continue.
I understand. So you actually continued on with the one side broken.
And he actually he was better. He looked more in control. He didn't look so like army sloppy.
Right.
But we made the final. We came in third or fourth.
Wasn't there a couple of years ago during lockdown, didn't you get COVID and you were still able to compete via Zoom or something like that?
Right here in this room. Yeah.
You were able to still dance, or how'd you do it?
How did I do it? I was, first of all, that I got Delta. So Delta was really gnarly for me. I was dancing with Cody Rigsby, the Peloton guy, and I must have gotten it traveling. I mean, because we were traveling back and forth from New York to LA every week.
Oh, because he had to work?
He had to do Peloton, which I was so confused about. I was like, can't you do Peloton anywhere?
Yeah, anywhere.
Like in the height of COVID.
Right.
This is what we want to do. Like, really. So anyways, it was only week one. And then I remember flying to New York, and then it was heading into week two. It was Britney Spears night, and he was a huge fan of Britney. And I tested positive. And I mean, the anxiety. I mean, I was so on a different high. And then on top of getting COVID, I guess I never felt the pain of COVID. I lost my sense of taste and smell for about 30 seconds, literally. Like, I was eating peanut butter and I was like, oh, it's gone. But then it came back. They put me to work. They dropped off the camera equipment, the lighting equipment, literally in my driveway. They're like, and no one would come into my house for obvious reasons.
Right.
And so I was on Zoom calls. I was working about 20 hours a day. Then I had to do press. I had to teach Cody 3 dances via Zoom like this.
And then how did you perform the dances?
I mean, I saw him the day before the live show after teaching him a Viennese waltz outside on his deck in New York while I was here in this living room. This is the shit they never showed, which is insane to me. Like, this is camera gold. This is like, how do you not? I'm like fighting with my partner who I just met, by the way, since this is only week 2. This was heading into week 3. We had 2 dances because we had 2 nights that week. So we had a Viennese waltz and jive. And then I had COVID fatigue. Like, I felt like I was suffocating. Like, the whole time I had to stop in between camera blocking because I was like, I can't breathe, you guys. Why would you give me such a crazy dance? I'm still recovering. I didn't rest, you know. It was like, but it was amazing. Now, if you have COVID, you get a bye week. But
then you guys still made it all the way to the finals in that one too.
Totally.
That's incredible.
The pity party vote does count.
But that's the thing too. You mentioned this a couple times about the packages and how they can, you know, I mean, there's some manipulation almost as to how they want the people to see you, right? It can be something very positive. It can be something very kind of negative. That was something that was a big part of the show as well.
You know, they're really trying. I mean, I don't know how it was back then. Was it script? I mean, they really try. It started to become very scripted when there wasn't even cameras in rehearsal, like not all of the rehearsals.
Oh, okay.
Now it's back to that. And I think they're trying to get the realities. But if you fight or bicker for 1 second, that's what they're using.
Yeah.
So I was always very paranoid about that type of stuff.
Well, and we never had that. We had some playful, fun things. But I remember there was one time, it was crazy. I was hip to it too. I'm like, I'm not going to ever break on camera. There was one time, actually,
the Viennese waltz.
So I was like, I can't do this. And I was like, oh no.
But it was so good. It was so good.
That was my best one.
No, but the package was great because of that.
Oh, the package. Yeah. They show the frustration.
Yeah.
You know, and they show like, I can't do it from this angle. I can't do it from this angle, even though it's the same.
You're in every promo. Yeah.
But like that's the show business element of what they want you to do, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's so fun reminiscing with you because it's been so long. But it's like every experience is different, though sometimes mine blend in with one to the next, depending on who it was. But I definitely love that we're having this moment because you're right. We never got to do this, you know?
We never did. No, like you mentioned flying to New York. I mean, we flew to New York together. I think it was to do Rachel Ray, who was based in New York, and we had to go to the studio there to rehearse that week and do our wides.
God.
I remember it was the first time I ever flew Virgin Airlines with all the colors. It was pretty fairly new.
Oh, God, they don't even have that airlines anymore, do they?
They don't.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So what was some of the reasons that finally led you to want to step down for good?
Like you said, there have been times where I've also left and I've done other things. But this time, it just feels different because, you know, I am 38 years old, though that is still young. It's not young in the dance world as much. I also know that I'm in a period of my life, you know, I'm newly divorced. And I am working on me and I'm wanting to evolve in general, right? I'm just in a period in my life where I'm curious and I want to learn again. And it's been an amazing experience. Again, being blessed with so much to be able to do what I have loved doing, which is perform and ballroom dance. However, there comes a time where, for me, I take a step back and I'm like, I need to grow, whether that's within the family or not. That is not up to me when it comes to Dancing with the Stars. You know, they're very well aware that I want to, I would have loved to have been able to do that with the family. Mm. However, if they don't see a place for me, whether that be at the judges table or a possible co-host, then you know what? That's okay. I'm grateful. Thank you for this experience, but I'm going to move forward, you know.
Do you have the longest tenure on the show or one of them?
The longest, and I think that I'll stay there for I mean, unless if this show goes on for another 26 seasons and Val wants to be the next one, he can. But yeah, no, 26 seasons is I think so far the longest, yeah, that anyone has been a pro dancer for sure.
And that's what I was saying before about the producers, but like obviously being the fan favorite, they probably want you to be on every season.
That's fine. And they can have me on every season, just not as a pro dancer.
There's different ways. So what you're saying is you want to continue on the show as a judge. And we mentioned that Len retired.
Yeah, I would have loved that. However, I can't predict the future, but it is what it is. And I do know, though, that I can no longer continue doing this. It's not the same thing because it's a different experience every time. But like also my body is just not as... like I'm not as fast and sharp and precise as I want to be. And there is, I guess, whether you call it my ego or there's an expectation
sure.
I have of myself, you know, maybe it's unrealistic. However, I don't feel right. I feel like it's time. You know, there's a lot of dancers that want my job and it wouldn't be fair for me just to continue to linger in hopes that one day I get a promotion or like, you know, I've done 26 seasons. It's time to move on.
It's a very grueling form of art.
Yeah,
I guess like we mentioned, I remember it's actually, I don't even know if I told you this. So our last dance was kind of, you come back and do kind of a, it was you and I and Sugar Ray Leonard and whoever his partner was.
Yes.
And you had me just spin you and just kind of throw you down the dance floor. Right.
Yeah.
When I did that, I felt a little pop in my back, ended up herniating a disc. Yes. So
you really, yeah,
I'm sure 20 years of wrestling at the time probably built up to that.
Chris,
but yeah,
you never told me.
Yeah, I never told you. And I went, they said I needed surgery. So I ended up getting really into yoga and yoga kind of took care of it and made it all go away.
Oh, interesting.
But I was like,
oh, really?
I was like, well, how did you do that from wrestling? No, from dancing, from spinning Cheryl around and throwing her down the dance floor.
But, mind you, you were holding a vodka soda at the same time. No, I'm kidding.
And probably one of your cigarettes that you lent me, that you bummed me.
Yeah.
But I mean,
wait, what are you talking about?
It's very, did you have any injuries of your own during the years?
I mean, I have full arthritis everywhere. It's just more of an internal horrible feeling I deal with every day. It's not necessarily like anything is visually like yeah. concerning. However, it is. I've got two tennis balls, the size of tennis balls, of scar tissue built up in my hips. Wow. Like, and I have to constantly, you know, get body work done with when it comes to even just being able to walk. Like, so I'm still getting it done. And it's not pleasurable. This is not a massage, not a rub-a-dub. You know, it's like,
yeah.
it's actually breaking the scar tissue because I don't want to have to get hip replacements. I have had a minor tear on my rotator cuff. That was when I did a live show in Japan for a couple of years. But it's just sometimes your body is telling you to stop.
Yeah.
But that's not the main reason why I left. Like, could I have done another 2-3 seasons? Yes, absolutely.
When you talk about, I was going to ask you as we start to wind down here, you might have started again when you guys were doing this season and then you would go do a live tour.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been long gone on those tours. I only did 2.
How did that work? So you'd come right off the season and go right on the road for a month or something?
Lots of vodka sodas, Chris. Lots of vodka sodas. Numbing. Numbing is the best. No, kidding. We went on tour. This was like back in the day when we would sell out like huge stadiums, like not stadiums, but
arenas,
like the forum arenas. Yeah. And so we did in between the hiatus between season 2 and 3, there was no tour. Then season 3 happened. We had like Super Bowl ratings. Between season three and four, we went on tour. And then between seasons 4 and 5, we went on tour. And then they continued. However, that tour that I was on and part of, I was, first of all, just came to Los Angeles. I was also 22, 23 yeah. years old. And it was like my college years, never went to college. So it was like 7 nights a week of ballroom, dancer by day and partier by night.
Right, right.
You know, like it was like, I got that out of my system quick. Not really quick, took 10 years, but 7 nights a week. And it was like, honestly, I was just in fight, flight, or freeze, just trying to get through it. So I don't really remember much, but it was fun. And I know they're still going on the road. I mean, they're on tour now. It's just that, you know, the budget isn't as flexible.
Sure.
And it's also a huge, it's a huge toll on your body. But these people are young, you know, they're basically the way I was 15, 16 years ago. So
would you just do the routines, like the dances with your partner that you'd already done? Or would you come up with new stuff?
No. So we would have like, cause you have pro numbers and this is a 2-hour show you're filling.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So this is it's like a 90 minute at least. I'm not sure if there's an intermission, but I haven't been a part of that tour, like I said, in years. However, back in the day, it's physically grueling. I'd say the show itself is more mentally grueling, I think, but the tour during the winter tour, you're screwed if you're not warmed up. I mean, or drinking at least a vodka soda, whatever gets you through. I mean, I don't even knock on wood now, but I never got injured on that tour. But there's a lot of dancers that did.
Well, because you wouldn't be used to the constant. Well, you kind of are used to it, but I guess traveling.
No, but like Kim got injured big time. Remember when Kim got injured with Heinz? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I almost had to step in. I remember for like a couple of rehearsals and that was it.
You would have had to do double duty?
No, we would have. I think we already got eliminated.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know what? I shot us in the foot with that damn Heinz Ward when we were doing, he did the Venetian waltz, I think the week after we did.
Venetian. I like it.
I'm a dancer.
Regardless, I like it.
But you're turning constantly. And I was getting dizzy and like sick.
Yes.
And I went and got seasick bracelets with a little ball.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Remember that? And you put them on the inside of your wrists and it worked.
That's crazy.
Yeah. When I did the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, I wore those things because I was feeling like I was going to throw up and it went away.
Can you imagine we were on Jay Leno? Like, this is unheard of.
I know. It's insane, right?
Like, he's not even on air anymore. I know. That's how old we are.
But then Heinz was going to do the waltz the next week, and he was sad too about the spinning. I was like, dude, put these on. I had them in my little bag.
Why did you tell him
I don't
him
know.
That?
I shouldn't have said anything. He might have.
I'm kidding.
He might have spun himself and puked everywhere, and we would have gotten another round in.
Spun himself out off onto Beverly Boulevard.
Exactly. Just continuing to spin. I screwed us on that one. It was my fault.
You have good karma, though.
Yeah, exactly. It worked out. Last few questions for you. I mean, obviously, you've had so many great partners. Are there some that stand out? And you don't have to say it if you don't want, but is there some that, like, obviously you won 2 or 3 times? Is there some partners that you really enjoyed working with that you'll kind of always have great memories of?
Actually, I won twice. My very first 2 seasons, that was it.
Okay.
I love you, Chris. Like, honestly, I've never danced with another wrestler before. So that is very, I've danced with a million athletes. But the other 2 that I think for me, I would say was the most rewarding would be Rob Kardashian.
Oh.
Which is surprising to, I'm sure, a lot of people. But what I love was how insecure and how the public viewed him as far as a spoiled, rotten little Kardashian. They didn't give him a chance until they saw his vulnerability and he improved. I mean, the goal was to beat Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
She got eliminated week 2. But we came in 2nd place. Like, we almost won.
Oh, wow.
And for me, it's like, those are the stories. That's the journey. And it's so great. And it was great to see him turn from a man, a boy into a man, like learning just proper etiquette. Like, that's the thing about ballroom that I don't think a lot of people know, is that it's another form of cotillion. You learn how to lead a girl. You learn how to open the door for a woman. You learn when she falls, you learn how to pick her up. You're very aware of another human being in front of you and how to touch a woman. Like, you don't just grab, you know, there is a lot of factors that come into it that came naturally to you, Chris, but like not to a lot of people, surprisingly, right? And so, and then also Jack Osborne was one of my favorites as well.
Jack Osborne, and why Jack?
Because, you know, he's also sober. But also, I wasn't sober then. But what I love is another underdog story in that sense, that he was, I remember him from the MTV Osborne days of this guy wasted and just like dragging his feet around the house, you know, and like to see him handle his MS. He's diagnosed with MS. And to see him, I remember one time he woke up, it was the morning of the semifinals, and I was being Cheryl, you know, like pushing really hard. He said he woke up blind.
Wow.
I felt so bad. But I think it was the MS that was triggered. I'm not saying, I'm not blaming it all on me, but I'm pretty sure I had something to do with it. But to see him overcome so much in his life, it was really inspiring. And it's nothing to do with dancing. It has everything to do with the person.
Well, and the confidence that you get from learning, you know, from learning the art of dancing. Because, you know, Stacey Keibler had asked me 2 or 3 times, and Dina had as well, to do the show. And I just like, I'm not interested. And then finally, when I wanted to do it, I said, I'd be really a real dick to not do it now after all these chances. And I really want to learn the art of dancing.
Yeah.
You know, learn something new.
Wait, your co-worker did it just recently.
Miz did it too. Yeah. Yes. I think there was four of us that did it. Stacy, Nikki, me and Miz were the four that kind of went through and did it. So.
Right. Did you ever talk to him? Did he ask you any advice?
I did. Yeah. He asked me for advice. I gave him some advice and he went fair. I think he went about as far as I did, like 6 or 7 weeks in, you know, and like you said, there's only, you can get so far with limited talent and with personality, and then you either grow. I remember for me, I was really good at the step dances, like the jive and
the quick step, like with a lot of content.
Yeah. But I wasn't good at the Latin dances.
Well, jive is technically a Latin dance, but the ones that required hip action.
I had no hip action. No hip action whatsoever.
But by the way, if you did, that'd be fucking weird.
Last question for you. We talked a lot about Kirstie Alley and we had a lot of fun with her. Is there a Kirstie story that you remember since she just passed away? Something fun?
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to her and her family.
Yeah.
You know, she was such a big soul, a beautiful soul, a loving soul. I know she's affected so many people's lives in a positive way. Her zest for life. It was like she was a little girl. Mm. Like every single time she's like, wait, she was so inspired and so like shocked that like, oh, you guys touch each other. Like right. It was like she was living her other life. Yet she was such an authentic person at the same time. Like she came to my book signing, our book signing. She was, and she would always follow through. She never bullshitted. She wasn't like, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I'll be your friend since, you know, I need you right now because I'm on a show that I've never been on. She was always constant in that sense. She was very opinionated, yet she also had a great heart. Like, you know, she took a lot of us dancers in.
I remember too, because like at the time she was 60 and I was like, she's 60? She's acting like she's 40 and she would like,
I know.
Is anyone going out? Like you and I would go do something and she, oh, Kirstie's there. Yeah. And she'd always bring like, oh, here's Kirstie and Jordan Knight or Kirstie and somebody else Jordan and just random guys and people that she knew.
I remember. Yeah. Yes. No, you're right. And then would also have a love of martini and like would love to go to El Floridita. I mean, we were out to like 2-3 in the morning.
And then at rehearsal at 6 or at rehearsal at 9, let's be honest.
Right and early. Yeah. And then Max was barking over at Kirstie while I was barking at you. It was just the way it goes.
Well, Cheryl, it's great to reconnect with you and congratulations on such a legendary career.
Thank you.
Thanks for some awesome times. I enjoyed working with you.
Same. And your family, give them my love.
I will. They're all grown up now, but I'll give them the love for sure.
Oh my God, I can't. They're like, who's that?
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Good to see you and good to reminisce. Take care.
Thanks, Cheryl. Good to see you. Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.